Well, good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We are delighted to have you with us today. I want to introduce our speaker. It is a privilege and a blessing in so many ways. When you think of brothers and sisters in the Lord that are engaged in ministry, that are serving the Lord in different capacities, there are many pastors I've been overwhelmed by over the years and missionaries that I've been overwhelmed by over the years, and I just count it an honor to know these people. And Lori Davila is right there at the top. I tell you, the ministry she has here in Austin and beyond, the expanding ministry of Austin Pregnancy Resource Center is a beautiful thing. You remember last year we had a priority. We wanted to expand our missions budget, and we were able to expand our missions budget. By God's grace, we were able to expand our missions budget. And some of my conviction and my deacons we're hit under the concept in Acts 1:8, where we have a pattern from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And viewing that as a pattern, viewing that as an example, as we evaluated our mission endeavors and priorities and activities, we realized, you know, we're kind of deficient here locally. What are we doing locally in Austin? And it became very convicting. I started reading through Revelation 2 and 3, and the message to those seven churches, every single one was tailored. Hey, here's what's going on in Ephesus. Here's what's going on in Thyatira. Here's what's going on in Philadelphia. And every one of those messages, Jesus Christ was intimately involved with what was going on in that area. And the pastor of that church had words addressed to him if they were deficient in that area. So the conviction came, and I was very delighted that we were able to add the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center to our supported missionaries. And some of us have already met Lori or attended banquets and things of that nature. But for many, this may be your very first introduction ever, and because this is her first time to come here and speak. And I told her yesterday, I said, you are going to go to the top of the charts in a lot of people's books with the Chick-fil-A that arrives. That there's a certain way that you can become the most famous guest speaker ever in the history of a Bible church. And so I'm giving her the entirety of this hour. So this is her report, the introduction of the Resource Center to us, and the blessings and encouragement from the Word of God. So, Lori, please.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your button.
My button. Is it? Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right? All right. Yes, I have heard. If you feed them, they will come. So I told him I will bring lunch. No, I'm excited to be here. I'd love to be anywhere where people love life. And I know that a church that understands that what we do at the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center, we are a missionary outreach. And Pastor, I'm excited to hear what you had to say, because I believe the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center lives out Acts 1:8 at every level. And I'll show you that in my report this morning. But before I get into the report, I want to give you just a little bit of history. Did you even think about, I don't even know if you knew I was coming today or not, but now that you know the topic, have you thought about why we even have to talk about this? Why this is even an issue? Well, I had been given that question, and I do research when someone challenges me with a question. And so as I did my research, I learned a lot. And I want to share that with you today. But just before I get into the history, I want to share with you a little bit about my background. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 6. So anyone who works with children, I want to encourage you. You are working in a mission field, and it's very important what you do. You may not see the fruit of your labors right away, but I've been able to go back to the lady who led me to Jesus. I'll never forget it. She was, she still is, very involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship. If any of you do the Backyard Good News Clubs, well, there was one in my neighborhood up in southern Indiana. I know I'm not from Texas. I got here as quick as I could, I promise. I'm glad God planted me here. Actually, next month will be 20 years that I've been here in Austin. But coming from southern Indiana, I'll never forget. We would go and we would learn, sing those songs. And I love these songs that you sang this morning. They take me back to my roots, because we cannot forget the blood of Jesus and the price that he paid so that we could know the freedom. But she shared that with me, and she actually recognized and understood one of my fears. And at that time, I had a fear of storms. And she identified that, and she said, would you like to know how to never be afraid of storms again? And of course I did, because I didn't like storms. And when she said, Jesus calms the storms. Jesus protects you. He loves you. He created you for such a purpose. And I came to understand. And I'll never forget running home to tell my mom that day that I had met Jesus. Well, I continued to go to the Good News Backyard Clubs, and we learned about missionaries. We would sing songs in Spanish and different, learn about the Philippines and all the places that people would go and talk about Jesus. Well, I decided at the age of 9 that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a missionary and just commit my entire life to sharing about Jesus. And so I started studying other countries. Like I said, from the very early age, I would study. So as soon as I could, in high school, I went to Mexico. Learned all the Spanish I could. You'd think I'd know Spanish a little better now living in Texas. I can make an appointment. I know days and numbers, so I can do that much in Spanish. But that wasn't it. Then when I finished college, even though I got my degree, psychology, social work, I knew I was going to work with people. Went to Japan. That wasn't it. Visited Ukraine. Got to go to Israel. Did all these places. And every time I'd come back, I'm like, God, where is it? I don't believe that's it. Where is it? And our church in southern Indiana started talking about a pregnancy resource center and starting one in our area. There wasn't one. And I got in on the ground level of that. And what do you know? The first time I went to volunteer, signed up to volunteer, the director couldn't come that day. And she left the key with me, which was not a safe thing at all because I had no clue really what I was doing. But she said, there'll be another trained volunteer there to work with you. And, of course, my attitude wasn't real good because when I do something, I like to do it with excellence. And I didn't feel I was very well equipped to do it well. But I went. Being willing, available, and obedient are the three things that I've lived by. And there was a girl at the top of the stairs that day, and I said, oh, you here for to volunteer? And she said, no, I'm here for a pregnancy test. And I'm like, okay, well, I've never run a pregnancy test in my life, but I had my psychology degree, and they had trained us, never let them see you sweat, stay calm, it's okay, not a problem. So I'm like, come on in, not a problem. And we figured out the pregnancy test that day, and it was negative, but I got to share Jesus. And I saw the mission field that the pregnancy resource centers are. And I went back. I was actually working for two OB-GYN doctors at the time. I praise anybody who works in the medical field, but it is not my specialty. I was like, I don't know how you do this every day. But when I went back to work that day, I was like, teach me everything. And, you know, they showed me sexually transmitted diseases under the microscope. They taught me OB care. And that was God's on-the-job training for what I've been doing for the last 25 years now. Shortly after that, they hired me to direct the pregnancy center and the maternity home there in Evansville. And then about 4 years later, I got invited to come to Austin and was hired to come and start a group that actually supports pregnancy resource centers. I moved to Austin in 1997, and my first assignment was find all the pregnancy centers operating in the state and go introduce yourself. Now, that may sound like an easy assignment, but for someone from Indiana, Texas is like its own country. It's so huge. I had no clue where anything was, and I learned another thing. Texans speak a different language. I actually got a book called Texas Speak because I didn't understand. I'm like, I'd say, would you please spell that? I'm just not understanding what you're saying. I apologize. And I love it that Texans just tell you what they think. I learned that too because when I started introducing myself, the first place I went was New Braunfels. There's a pregnancy center there. And I went to introduce myself to the director. She's not there anymore. But I said, I'm just observing the trees. Have you noticed the trees in Texas are short? Yeah, see, I've got some people agreeing with me. She didn't agree with me. She said, I beg your pardon. There's nothing small in Texas. Those are big bushes. All righty then. I stand corrected. But to me, they look like short trees, but okay. Anyway, the Texas language, you know, cutting the light off. I see that now. We really do cut the light off. Okay, I got that. So, and fixing to do something. For me, that means food. But for Texans, that means to do something. So, because up in Indiana, we go eat. That's the fixins, you know. But anyway. So I've enjoyed the language, and I love it when I go back up to Indiana. They say now I'm my brother. He's the funniest because I heard someone upset with her mom, and she said, "Mother, don't get your panties in a wad." And I was like, I would never speak to my mom like that. But I thought, this would be fun with my brother. So he was upset one day, and I said, "Don't get your shorts in a wad." He's like, "What? Girl, you've been there too long." I'm like, "I'm learning Texas language. I like it." But anyway, I've had some fun through the years, and I'm going to share it. We've had some resistance through the years, and I'm glad to know that we are on the winning side, that the war is already won. And we can, from what we sang this morning, the blood of Jesus, that's how we know. And I get to share with pregnancy resource centers all over the country now. That's what I did, actually, for 8 years, serving all over the country. And my heart was, when I moved here, though, why isn't there a pregnancy center by the University of Texas? 50,000 students down there. And if you figure in all the other universities in that five-mile radius, you're talking about 100,000 university students, five abortion facilities, but there was no pregnancy center anywhere in that area at that time. So before I go into the history of the pregnancy center, I want to give you some of our nation's history, because I believe it's important to understand how we got here. And I believe it's very important to understand the tables have turned and we're in a new day. That's why I've labeled my presentation, "It's a New Day." And it really is, and I'll explain why. But when you look at the founding, and I'll just start at the founding of our nation, you know, a lot of people are challenging that the nation was not founded upon the Word of God, but I got to retrace the founding father's steps with my niece. She's now 17, I can't believe it. But every year as she was growing up, we would take a trip, and we would learn about our country. So we went and we retraced the founding father's step all through Philadelphia, all on the East Coast, all through Washington, D.C., all of that area. And if you look at where we came from, even still today on the buildings, is the Word of God based upon the Scriptures. When you look at some of the founding father's quotes, I mean, George Washington. This is a very powerful one. "What students would learn in American schools above all else is the religion of Jesus Christ." Pretty interesting where we are today, isn't it? Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. "I have but one thing to say about this book, the Bible. It is the greatest gift God has given to man." Our 16th president. And then you look at Calvin Coolidge. "Our society has staked so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." It's where we are today, isn't it? And I can't leave Ronald Reagan out. I know he's not a founding father, but he was our 40th president. And when you look at Ronald Reagan, I didn't know him real well. I was in middle school when he was president. I knew he was a good guy. But when he passed away, I started reading about his life and decisions that he made. And as I've read some of his biographies, it's been interesting to see how I believe decisions that he was making are very similar to the decisions that we make. Many times he wrote, he knew he wouldn't be popular with the decisions that he made, but he was willing to make them and take whatever heat he had to take for future generations. He said he may never, ever see the results of decisions that he made during his presidency, but that it was important for future generations. And I think that's important for what we're doing. A lot of times decisions we make in our society today, standing for life, not compromising, speaking the truth, it's not always popular, but we do it for the future generations. Matter of fact, I love working with the young people and getting to be down at the university, and we're hearing from youth groups all over Texas now. They want to come and do their mission trips and spring break trips and summer trips coming here. I just heard from youth pastor at Prestonwood in Dallas, Plano, they want to come bring their youth group. Arlington has sent a group. Houston has sent a group. And I just love it because I know that promise from the Word that as we lift the name of Jesus high, he draws them all to himself. And as we're true to that and we don't compromise that in any way, he will do the work. When people say, "How do you do what you do?" The only answer is God does it. There's no way I could do what all has been done. But I know that as we're faithful to follow him and to be willing, faithful, willing, available, and obedient, those three key words, he does. He reminded me just last week, I had some tough decisions to make, and he reminded me with the song. That's why I love these songs, because he is faithful. That was the song that was running through my head when I had to make some decisions. So Ronald Reagan's presidency was important too, I believe, because he was our 40th president. And if you look at major things that have happened in those generational changes, it's been in that number 40. I believe God follows he's very methodical. I mean, all the detail of numbers that are in the Bible are just amazing to me. So when you look at what happened after that, if this was where our country came from, how did we get off? What happened? That'd be the question, right? Well, in the early 1920s, we were introduced to a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. I don't know if y'all have heard her name before, but there have been people in history who've come along who've decided they've wanted to create a pure race, right? I mean, we've heard of Hitler, how he wanted to eliminate a race that he didn't believe was up to standard, and that was the Jewish race. And Margaret decided she wanted to eliminate the African-American race. Matter of fact, I believe it's still out there. You could still find her Negro plan on the internet, knowing that that was her agenda, and starting off with using birth control as a means to do that. Her name of her organization when she first started was the American Birth Control League, which later changed the name. And that's one thing it's important for us to know. When I got my degree in psychology, they trained us that purposely every 10 years they would change language so that the general population wouldn't understand what was going on. And I think language is very important. The scripture tells us that our words are very important, and we must understand what's going behind them, what is happening. So she changed the name of her organization to Planned Parenthood Federation of America, as we know it today, a little later. Did you know in this country in the early 1920s, it was illegal to send information about contraception in the mail? Yet when you look at where we are today, driving around even in Dallas and Houston, I haven't seen so much here, but up on billboards, right? Every other commercial, we see it. So things were moving fast. The country was changing. We know about the feminism that came out, free women, free world. Madeline Murray O'Hare, matter of fact, her offices were just down here on Cameron, decided that she wanted prayer removed from school, didn't want her child exposed to that. And then came the 70s, right? We sent a rocket to the moon during that time. I got to stay up late to watch it, I remember. But how about today when we do all these science things? Are we even aware of what's going on? Or are we, except when a satellite's out and we can't use our cell phone, right? Very key to what's happening. In the 70s, of course, we know of January 22nd, 1973 was the case from the Supreme Court decided that abortion upon demand would be legal in this country through all 9 months of pregnancy. Now, how did that happen? Well, I don't know if you've heard of the Doe v. Bolton case, Sandra Cano, but her case was heard the same day as Norma McCorvey, and Norma just passed away, went on to heaven, and this past week, and I pray for her family. I know Norma has finally found her rest and her peace, because every time I would see Norma, she would be all hunched over like she was carrying the weight of those 60 million abortions. And I'm glad that she now knows that Jesus carries her, that she's free. But the same day that Roe v. Wade was decided, Doe v. Bolton was heard. And what happened is Doe v. Bolton said, for the health of the mother, an abortion could be completed through all 9 months of pregnancy. So if a woman went to an abortion facility, and notice I don't say clinic, I say facility, because there's a difference in our words. And I believe if we call things what they are, then they get exposed to what they really are. So if she went to an abortion facility, found she was pregnant, they would chart it emotional, because it's not a good time if you're going to an abortion facility, right? Charted anxiety, it would fall under Doe v. Bolton for the health of the mother, and health encompassed mental health. So that's how, even yet today, most people don't know, but across the land, all 9 months of pregnancy, it's available. Now, in Texas, we have changed the law in that only no abortions past 20 weeks. A baby can survive at 20 weeks now with all the technology that we have. So, but I'm excited that during that time, the early 70s, three men rose up and said, enough's enough. And that was Reverend Billy Graham, Dr. C. Everett Koop, and Dr. Francis Schaeffer. And they decided, let's do something about this. And that's where the Crisis Pregnancy Center movement, as we've known it, we've changed our name too, but at the beginning we were known as the Crisis Pregnancy Center movement, as we have known it. And at the forefront of our movement is sharing Jesus. And that's where I challenge pregnancy centers, because there's been lots of discussion with directors all over the country. Well, we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. You know, if they ask us, we'll share about Jesus. Now, have any of you ever had anyone come up to you and say, would you share Jesus with me today? They're in a crisis. They're hurting. They're searching for hope. So if they're searching, that means they're hopeless. Where, how are they going to know? And someone challenged me with that. They're like, just live it out. You don't have to speak it. Just live it out. Well, I went to any challenge like that, I'm going to ask the Lord. Lord, is it important? And you know, he took me to the eunuch that was reading the scriptures. He was actually reading the scriptures. And Philip went over to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone explain it to me? God answered me very clearly. Yes, we are to live our faith, but we're also to speak our faith. We must not be ever be ashamed of sharing and speaking the name of Jesus. That's where the power is. So the pregnancy center movement began in the early 70s, and we've changed a lot through the years. But I want to share with you why I believe Austin is so important. As I've shared with you, Madeline Murray O'Hare removing prayer from school, Norma McCorvey being right up from Dallas, and then, you know, the attorney actually here in Austin with the Roe v. Wade case. I believe that God has called us here in Austin to take what was done in error and get it right and impact the nation. And I believe that's a big part of what the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center is supposed to do. Now, I love to ask people, do you have a dream? Do you have something deep in your heart that you know needs to happen, but everyone in your world tells you why it should never happen? That's what happened to me. And I encourage you, if that happens to you, here's what I did. I just quit talking to people. I didn't give up on my dream. You know, I get to share at some of these national conferences, and I will challenge even the directors, people that are working in the pregnancy center, wherever they're from. I had one come up to my table last year. We were down in Florida at the conference. And I just said to her, I'm so excited that we will see the end of abortion in our lifetime. And she looked at me and she said, you really think so? And I looked at her. If we're in a war and we don't expect to win, do you think we'll win? Of course I believe so. I believe it, and I'm going to share with you why I believe it. When I moved to Austin, I did. I sought out pastors. I sought out leaders. And I saw the lay of the land. And I said, why? Help me understand why there's not a pregnancy center down by UT. That's a mission field right there that will touch the world. 20,000 international students. We've already impacted a couple from Japan in our first 2 years of being open. And they came to Christ through our work, and we connected them with navigators on campus. They got discipled. When they graduated, they came and videotaped every room in our facility so they could go back to their homeland and start a pregnancy resource center. We've already multiplied into another country, and we didn't even have to go there. Isn't that awesome? God's brought them to us. But when people would tell me, I couldn't even get 100 people to a banquet when I moved here in 1997. So I quit talking to people, didn't give up on my dream, and that's what I share with everyone. Do not give up on your dream, because if I had given up and just gone, okay, well, we'll do something else, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have what we have, but thank God. I got a friend, and we went down. We decided, at that point, I was traveling the country, so I was only in Austin on Sunday, Monday. So on Mondays, we would go down and we would pray over the campus, over UT, and we would go down and we would pray over the Capitol. Did you know in 1997, National Abortion Rights Action League grades every state, and in 1997, Texas was graded at an A-. That means access to abortion readily available. And I can tell you within 10 years of us going down and praying and working and strengthening the pregnancy centers, opening new centers, I found 83 pregnancy centers operating in 1997. I can tell you today in the state of Texas, there's over 200 pregnancy centers operating in the state of Texas. There were 49 abortion facilities available at that time. Today there are 12 in the state of Texas. We've seen a change, and NARAL has now graded us at an F. We've seen a change, and that's why I try to encourage directors from other states. Wherever the lay of the land is, God will work, but it's got to be Him working. We went down every Monday, and we asked God to raise up godly leaders, to change our capital. We would march around the governor's mansion. We did the Jericho March. We'd go down at 6 in the morning. We'd pray, and we'd march all the way around and walk and march. We blew the trumpet. We did everything. Of course, here in Austin, you know, anything goes. So they didn't know what we were doing, but we knew what we were doing. We were breaking down the walls. And let me tell you, in the seventh year, and that's why I believe the numbers are so key, the seventh year of our doing that, the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center came into being. That completion, that new beginning. And as we've been doing this now since 2005, we actually, a new pastor came to, I was attending Great Hills at the time, and a new pastor came to Bannockburn Baptist Church down south. But I went to see my pastor. He was new in town, and I said, I just want you to know I'm in your congregation, and this is my vision. And instead of him telling me why it would never happen, which what all the other pastors had said, he said, how much would it cost? And I said, $200,000 to do it right. And he said, I'll raise the money if you'll go do it. I said, well, you got a team here. I'm a No problem here. So they raised the money. He partnered with Ryan down at Bannockburn, and for the first 3 years funded what we needed so I could get it off the ground. And it's been amazing to see God at work, and He truly is at work at the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center. I always think of the scripture, John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he didn't stop there. I have come that you may have life, and he didn't stop there. Life abundant. So when I'm in churches and I, how you doing? Oh, I'm surviving. No, you should be living in abundance. He said he came to give us abundance. And it's how we look at it and what we see. I've been asking God for the past 6 months now, help me to see with your eyes, Lord. Help me to hear with your ears. And help me to love with your love. What does that look like? You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. And it can't be how I've all figured it out, right? But we held our first meeting, organizational meeting, October 19, 2004. And we set an opening date for January 16, 2005. And I'm here to tell you, we met that opening date. It's been 12 years now, and we had over 500 people at the grand opening. Amazing to see what God has done. And after about 6 months of being open, I started getting calls from area schools, counselors, principals, can we send students to you? God just got the word out. And of course, we'll serve anyone. We've served them as young as, 10, 11, 12, all the way up to over 50. We'll serve anyone. But I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes it's a challenge to get downtown. So as I prayed about it, I asked the Lord, what should we do about this? And he made it really clear. Go to the highways and byways. Go. So I started just talking to leaders in the different areas around the city. And what do you know? Today we have over 12 pregnancy resource centers that have been birthed out of the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center. Now we have 19 altogether in this area now because I started opening them before we opened downtown. And so it's amazing to see. And now from 5 abortion facilities, we're down to 2 abortion facilities, and they're both south. I knew that if we would meet their need right where they are, that God, they would choose life, and they wouldn't need the abortion facilities. And so that's how many of them have closed. So I praise God for the changes He has made. And I want to give you just a little report. Just last year, 2016, now these numbers are just for our location. We have set up each pregnancy center as their own 501c3. I serve on the board of each center until they get strong, and then I move to advisory so I can keep multiplying. Last year at our location, we saw 1,591 clients. 75% were returning clients, and that's important to know because, yes, we want to introduce them to Jesus, but we want to disciple them. We want to help them with their lifestyle. We want to help them with their children and moving. That's why partnering with churches is so important, to be able to plug them into good churches. 25% were new clients. 75% were under the age of 30. The highest category, of course, of ages we see is that 19 to 24, which is the college age student. The highest number of clients we saw last year was in May, and 62% were Hispanic, which is why it's so important that I know how to make an appointment in Spanish. 993 were for the boutique, and I think this is important. A lot of pregnancy centers are talking about doing away with their material support. Their logic is, we just want to help that woman considering abortion. We do, however, she considers abortion because she doesn't have anything. Many of them, they don't. Many of them are leaving and getting into safety, leaving literally with just their children. They have nothing. We've helped many of them partnering with Safe Place to set up with a whole new lifestyle, life, and home for their children. Matthew 25 is very important, and I let every pregnancy center know that we must do. What is Matthew 25? Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? We'll give many lunch. May not be the most healthy. We'll run over to Whataburger or whatever around us, but we'll feed them. Many are living in tents right there on Lamar. They don't have a place to go. Many are living in their cars. We've helped many get into housing and where they are, meet them where they are. When did you see me thirsty and give me something to drink? I'll never forget the client who called and said, my baby is a week old and has had water for the last 3 days. Can you help me with formula? Absolutely. And let me tell you a God story. I have my book here if you're interested in. I've just decided to document. There is no explanation, but God did it. And it's in my book. And I printed 1,000 for our banquet in September, and I'm already out. When people read, they want to share it. And that was my prayer, that it would be encouraging and show you that what God has done for me, He will do for you. But anyway, we didn't have formula when she called, but I said, yes, come. And I do this a lot. And then I got our volunteers together and we prayed. God, what do you want us to do? She's on her way. She needs formula. We don't have formula. What do we do? Do we go buy formula? What do you want us to do? And God is my witness, and I'm so glad the volunteers were there. As soon as we finished praying, a gal walks through the door. She was in a van. It said Travis County Health and Human Services on it. Now, when the health department shows up, usually that's not a good thing when they come. So I met her there, and she said, I've been meaning to get over to your center. Finally made it today. I met you out at Reagan High School at Hope Fest. We go every year. She said, I got your brochure, and I finally made it today. Do you need formula? I said, well, we just prayed for formula. She said, well, I have a van full of formula, and if you can use it, we can keep it coming. And to this day, we're overflowing with formula so much, we're asking places, will you take formula? We have so much formula. God met the need. When did we see you naked and clothe you? That's why we have all the clothing, and we have maternity clothing. We live it out. When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? We'll get calls from the hospitals, from the prisons, Del Valle over there. We have pregnant inmates. We don't know what to do. Can you come? Absolutely. We go outside our walls many times. Why? Because the reply of the master, what you did to the least of these, and whatever definition of the least of these, I believe is when I'm across from anyone, I'm across from my Lord. However I treat you, that's how I'm treating him. He says, you've done it unto me. Matthew 25 is very important. Psalm 139, we did 121 sonograms. We live out Psalm 139 with that sonogram because we have a tool that says, that shows from the scripture, when I knit you together in that secret place, he says, I knew you. But you know, How many times have you seen the baby choose abortion? Right? We've got to reach the mom. I saw a banquet in Dallas. I went Thursday night. I've been doing some work out of town. And the speaker was speaking that old language. He was speaking about, we've got to save the baby, got to save the baby. Yes, we do. But we don't save the baby unless we reach the mom, unless we reach the dad, unless we reach the grandparents. We've got to take it from the baby, and we'll take it to her. But you know what? You are beautifully made. Has anyone in your world told you how beautifully made you are? No. Everyone in my world's told me I'm a mistake. I should have never been born. I'm just trouble. No, no. God says, right now, today, and this is a divine appointment, you didn't come here by accident. We pray Psalm 91 over this place every day. Make this place a safety, a place of safety and refuge and peace. And I hear girls all the time say, I feel like I'm at grandma's house. They just feel the safety of the answer to our prayer, right? But God brought you here today for us to tell you you're beautifully and wonderfully made. You're the only one of how he's created you. And the purpose he's created you for, only you can perform, only you can do. The assignment you have, only God gave to you. All of us have an assignment. And he's given us just for you. But you know the debate, I love this when I talk with college students, the debate of when does life begin? God's already answered it. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Well, that should answer that question, shouldn't it? I like answering the questions for the college students. We had 197 referrals. We are doing community outreaches now. This is actually one of our clients. She's given me permission to share. She was actually homeless, living on the streets. Met her boyfriend there, got pregnant. But I can tell you today, they've come to Christ. They're married. And this baby's name is Miracle. Because they understand that God created a miracle by turning their life around. But we get to go out into the communities, partnering with the churches to take a lot of our resources. We partner with Bed Bath & Beyond, Bye Bye Baby, Tuesday Morning, Pottery Barn, a lot of the stores in the area. Any return merchandise, they can donate to us. They can get full credit. We get the resources. We take it out in the community. We set it up with churches, and we've seen many. Before we have them go through, we meet with them, we explain what we do, we share the gospel, give them a Bible, and it's amazing to see how their lives, their hearts just get turned around. We have volunteers who, they're called personal shoppers. They help them shop, get their stuff. We get over $5,000 worth of merchandise every week from retailers that we're now turning around and making it ministry. And it's neat to see what God will do as we get creative with him. We did back-to-school backpacks over in the... We partnered with the Simpson United Methodist Church last year, and we did 250 backpacks and an outreach there in East Austin. We had Thanksgiving. We partnered with actually Child Protection Service. They gave us 15 full Thanksgiving meals, so we were able to. We've started a mentoring program, so many of our clients in the mentoring program, we've been able to bless more with different items. We got invited to go to Fort Hood, and we got to minister to 1,300 military families this past December, and it was neat. I got to be one of the personal shoppers helping the military, and there was this young man, and his baby was probably, I think he said, 3 or 4 months old. His wife was working, and he got all the stuff that he needed. We were able to take all that formula and our overflow of clothing, and it's amazing to see how our military has such great needs. We gave them the Bibles from Lifeway, many blessings we get. And as we're helping him, we're pushing the shopping cart out to his car. And I just shared with him, just trying to get him to talk. And I just said, you know, they grow up so quick. Savor every second you have with this little one. And he started crying. And he said, I ship out to Afghanistan and I'll be gone for a year. And so he understood that. And anyway, we were able to pray with him before he left. We did our Christmas outreach. We doubled what we've done in the past. We did 54 single moms this year and 172 children that we provided Christmas for this year. That's one of the families. They were excited to come and get their presents. How did they find us? 37% said from a friend, 28% from the internet, and 9% from another ministry. The spiritual decision, 68% said they were already believers. 13% came to a decision for Christ. As a result, we had an increase of 5% last year. And 12% rededicated their lives. Our mentoring program is really making a difference in helping them live out their beliefs in Christ. 6% increase since last year. This is what is logged. Volunteer hours, 3,865. I know it was much more than that, but that's what we had written down. There's some of our volunteers. We have a great team. We have a little bit over 30 people that come every week consistently to volunteer at our center. Marvy D, our mobile. I don't see Tim. Tim? Oh, he is. He texted me this morning. He's the one who helped me find our ambulance. And this is another God story. I had just said, this was in 2013, I think it's time for us to do a mobile. Now, that's all of our services on wheels. A lot of pregnancy centers around the country are spending over $200,000 to buy RVs. And I was just like, you know, I have a hard time spending that much money on something that will depreciate. I can spend money on a building that will appreciate, but not on a vehicle, right? So we started talking about it, and we decided we just needed an ambulance. Why not do that and transform it? Well, I just mentioned it at a meeting. Tim Pinson was there, and I mean, within the next week, he calls me. Lori, are you serious about that ambulance? I'm like, well, sure I am, but just thinking about it. Hadn't gotten any further than that. And he said, well, I'm at an auction, and they've got some good deals. How much you want to spend? I'm like, well, Tim, I haven't raised any funds yet. And I said, anywhere, you know, no more than $15,000. I had no clue. I didn't know. He called me back. He said, I bought it. I'm like, you did what? what'd we spend? And he said, $12,500. I'm like, Tim, I don't have the funds right. This was in the summertime. This was like July. And he goes, that's okay. I got a deal. If you can't give it to me back to me in 30 days, I'll sell it. Okay. Well, I was supposed to take my niece, like I was telling you, I take her on a trip. We were supposed to leave that next week. So I left. We went over and prayed, laid hands on it and prayed, and then I left. At the end of that week, one of our volunteers called, and she said, Lori, were you expecting a big check? I'm like, well, you know, we prayed for the ambulance, but I haven't done anything yet. And she said, well, we got $26,492 check today. And here it is, my lack of belief. Are you sure it's written to us? That was my response. She said, yeah, I've already checked that twice. So anyway, God knew we needed the $26,000. $12,500 paid for the vehicle. $10,000 paid for the mobile sonogram. It's like a laptop, but it's a machine that you can take out. And then we did the wrap, and we put carpet in the back and curtains so it's nice and warm. And I didn't want it to feel medical at all. And what do you know? We have our mobile it was right at $26,000, the project. So I'm sharing this around the country. And, of course, those companies selling the RVs are not happy with me. But the pregnancy centers are, because as I share at banquets, center in Alabama, the mayor was at the banquet, and he came up and he said, I can talk to our city. We can get an ambulance. I'm like, well, I'll help. I don't charge for anything. And so we've helped them get theirs up. We've helped one in Arkansas get up and going. So I'm excited to see what God is doing with our little plan here. And this is the couple that helps me run it. And Joanne is now sharing her testimony. When we first met, Joanne wouldn't even look up. She had her hair down over her face and just shame written everywhere. And what do you know, as a result of coming to the Austin pregnancy, I mean, didn't think God could do anything for her because of things that had happened in the past. And I just challenged her. She wanted to buy a table for the banquet, but she's like, there's just no way I could afford $500. I'm like, Joanne, I mean, you could do a garage sale. I've done that myself, so I could do a sponsorship. Maybe you know 10 people that can give $50. I was trying to help her get. What do you know? She decided to do a garage sale, and she raised enough money to do two tables. So God has built her confidence to the point that she has now gotten her GED. She is now enrolled at ACC, and she's getting her four-year degree in sonography because she wants to do all of our sonograms. And she and her husband are now overseeing all of our mobile services. So we are now out partnering with Twin Lakes Christian Resource Center, The first Tuesday of each month, Life Church Leander has asked for us to come park on their parking lot because they're wanting to start a pregnancy center with their church. So we're going there each month. And so it's exciting to see where God is taking the mobile. All of our pregnancy resource center services on wheels. We have all of our material support. We can do pregnancy tests, and we have our sonogram. Now, as I was sharing, we get to go to national conferences. And as you support us, see, this is each level of that Acts 1:8. We're now going out to the country. And God has opened the doors that I get to share at all three national conferences. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, I got to share at the International Life Services Conference. And that's just pregnancy center directors and board members and volunteers that come to these. And I got to share what was happening here in Austin. And what do you know? After that, this was 2 years ago, directors were coming up to me, you know, it sounds good, but this is California. I'm like, God is God wherever we are, right? Yeah, but this is a different lay of the land. Well, you know, Austin was a different lay of the land when I moved from Indiana, too, but it's very different today. And I believe it's because of the prayer. So last year I went to share, because they invite me every year, and at the end, instead of saying this is California, they said, if God can do it in Austin, he can do it in California. So much so that they've been encouraged. They're bringing their national conference to Austin this year because they want to see what God is doing. So in July, they will be here. And I'm excited about that, getting to share. Of course, y'all came to our extravaganza, which we already have it planned for September 26th this year at the same place. So put that on your calendar and plan to come. And now, even spreading out more, here in the United States, to share with you, I was sharing with the pastor, I'm working on 4 new pregnancy centers right now. One in Laredo. I didn't realize it's just a mile from Mexico. I took my dog with me, and I was like, if I cross the border, I'll have an international dog. So we started walking over there, and then all these people started walking toward us. I'm like, yeah, I don't need an international dog. So anyway, we're opening a center out in Denver City, which is right outside Midland. And then I just got back from Missouri. We're opening 2 centers in Missouri this year. And now we're also working in Haiti. This will be our 7th year of partnering with Loving Shepherd Ministries. I've now become part of their staff, representing them here in Texas. And we have rescued 243 children. You know, as the scripture says, to be there for the orphans and the widows, we're being there for them. They have literally been rescued from either being in child slavery or child sex trafficking. They now are in homes, and we don't put more than 12 children in a home, either a boy's home or a girl's home. They have a mom and a dad, so they're raised in the ways of God. And it's neat to see what God is doing and getting to be a part of seeing God transform a nation. I shared with you about my book. We had our building challenge. It's our only debt is our building. And there's another God story in that. We nearly lost the building in 2014. We were in a 5-year balloon. The balloon came due, and the guy we own our finance with said, send $780,000 in 10 days or get out. Now, when you get a letter from an attorney like that, the first thing that tries to hit you is fear. And I was like, oh, God, what do we do? What do we do? And every time I would pray, he would say, it just takes one. And I'm like, God, one what? One what? Tell me what? What? And Father Lynn, his church supports us, St. Francis Anglican. His wife was watching 700 Club. And she texted me and she said, did you see the 700 Club today? And I'm like, no. She said, at the end of his broadcast, Pat Robertson prayed. There's a financial need. It's $700,000. It's a house. And I'm here to tell you God's met the need. I mean, how much more specific? We put that on our website. I mean, so specific. Well, it came down to September 30th at 4:45. He was going to take the building October 1st. And I had sent out an email to our supporters. We have about 2,000 on our email list. If you're not on it, I'd love to add you. I don't bombard you with emails. I just let you know what's going on. And what do you know? One person forwarded it to one person. To this day, I have not met. But he wired $775,000 at 4:45 on the due date. God was right on time. He's never seen the building. I've never met him. But God met the need. And God spoke and said, I want you there. Because people are telling me, just move. Just get, do. No, we have our stake in the ground in the heart of Austin to show not only Austin, but the rest of the nation, that you can go wherever God calls you to go and you can stand firm. I mean, when we were in the federal lawsuit, people came against us. They put dead birds across the front. They graffitied all over, but God says no. And I called the prayer warriors. We put oil. We prayed and all that. It all stopped. So I know Planned Parenthood's not my enemy. The abortion facilities are not my enemy. There's a spiritual battle being fought. And I believe it broke over Austin in 2013, which was the 40th year of Roe v. Wade. Fought at the Texas Capitol. I don't know if y'all saw it. We were down there fighting for HB2 to just bring abortion facilities up to medical standard. Did you know veterinary clinics have more regulations than abortion facilities? Very important to educate. We were down there. I was getting ready to go up to the second floor of the rotunda there at the Capitol. We were singing Amazing Grace, just filling the atmosphere with his presence. They were going up to the top. Now, if you stood for life, you were blue. And I had blue pants on, blue hat on, blue shirt on. It was no question what I stood for. But if you stood for abortion, you were orange. Well, I decided they were up, the people in orange on the third floor shouting down, Hail Satan, Hail Satan. Well, we were singing Amazing Grace, even louder. Well, I was getting ready to go up there, and I was with a friend. I opened the bathroom door. I was going to stop in the ladies' room, and it was a line of orange. My friend said, I'm not going in there. I said, well, I'm going in there because we don't live in fear, and we can impact our environment. I went in, very pleasant, just touching them. You know, our touch has a presence of his presence. You know, it's really hot out there today. It's amazing. It's amazing what we're doing here today, isn't it? Well, yeah, you're trying to close abortion. Well, they say clinics. And I said, no. We're talking about bringing these facilities up to medical standard. Well, no, listen, you want to close. No. We're bringing, and I was educating. And what do you know? Before I knew it, the anger dissipated in nearly everyone. There was one lady that stayed angry. The rest of them, I don't think they stayed. And I really teach our youth that they can make a difference and they can talk to their peers about this. I took them down to the rally, our youth group, one year, and there were like five teenagers holding a sign, keep abortion legal. Next thing I know, the youth are over there talking to them. They're not challenging. They're not fighting. They're just educating. And the lead youth, I just love her. She's so good even yet today. She said, I heard her saying to the one holding the sign, have you ever been to a pregnancy resource center and seen a sonogram? No. Well, I have. I volunteer over at the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center, and it really is a baby. Have you ever heard the heartbeat? And before you know it, the girl was standing there with the sign by herself. I mean, we can impact our environment. And I love, anyway, for our building, 775,000, we're down to 591,000. We met our $25,000 challenge at the end of the year. So this year, we're enlarging our territory, and the word God gave me is focus, and I'm staying very focused. And I'm going to wrap up with just these two quick stories. Any dog lovers? Yay, good. Well, God brought this dog into my life, and I named her Ariel. She's a rescue. Just showed up at a friend's house, very skinny, sickly, and friend's little girl had just been diagnosed with a brain tumor. She's only four. So she was like, I feel sorry for this dog, but my hands are full with Phoebe. I said, well, I'll find a home for the dog. Dog's still with me. But God is teaching me so much. So my next book, I've already gotten the title, Seeing God in the Moments, because dogs live in the moment. But I was rubbing Aries belly, getting ready to go speak to some ladies at a Bible study this one morning. I hadn't prepared, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to share with these ladies? He said, I want you to tell them to be like Ari. I call her Ariel. I call her Ari for short. But Ariel means healing and new beginning. And that's what she got. And so now she's gone through obedience school, and she's become our own official service dog for the pregnancy center. So she helps calm down people. And I'm like, you want me to tell them to be like a dog? Help me here. And he said, look at Ari. You're rubbing her belly. She doesn't worry about what she's going to eat or drink. She gets excited when you come home. She loves to spend time with you. She doesn't have a care in the world. She's not thinking about what are we going to do next. I want you to be like Ari with me. Be like Ari. I shared that at the Bible study, and it was amazing how many. We just got real with God that day. It was exciting. But he tells us to trust in him with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, and all our ways to acknowledge him, all of our ways. And I've taken that down to, Lord, where should I park today? Where should I go today? Order my steps today. Help me see those around me that I'm missing so that I can share your love. And then, of course, we walk, and where we've just moved out in Huddle, there's a little lake, and so we go walking. And she likes to chase rabbits. And we were walking one day, and I saw this rabbit, and it was watching her. But she gets real quiet when she sees the rabbits, and she starts like she's going to catch that rabbit. But there was another rabbit on down, and we start walking, and that rabbit never moved, and we walked right past it. And she went on down and, of course, missed the rabbit on down. And I said, Lord, what's the message here? And he said, don't get so focused on tomorrow that you miss today. Don't miss those things around you. Don't get in such a hurry that you miss those that you can give an encouraging word and lift up and help. Keeping our eyes firmly fixed on him, because we have a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us. Looking to Jesus, it's very clear, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. And this is the last one, and I'll wrap up with this. I stay in Dallas when I get to travel. Ari goes and stays with my friend. Have you heard of Zig Ziglar? Any of you? Well, his daughter, Julie Ziglar, lives in Dallas. She's a good friend of mine. So she lets Ari stay with her dogs and horses and stuff. When she had gotten home, we had gone out to feed the horses. Her dogs went with us. We came back in. Her dogs were there, but Ari wasn't there. And I said, well, where's Ari? It was dark. It was right at 9 o'clock. It was in the summertime when it was over 100 degrees those days, and we couldn't find Ari. So I didn't know if she had gone chasing a rabbit and gotten stuck somewhere in some brush, if she had gone out in the pasture. Where was Ari? I don't know where's Ari. So we went and got some flashlights over at the dollar store, and we started going out in the pasture. It was like 1 in the morning. I mean, we still hadn't found her. And I was just like, where's Ari? Well, Julie was tired. She said, well, I'm going to go to bed. We looked when sun would come up. We'll go look in the morning. Well, I couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I don't know how people do it who've lost their children. I really don't. I can't imagine. But I just prayed outside the window looking over the pasture, and I started giving God his word. You know, he tells us, bring me into remembrance of my word. So I just said, God, there's nothing impossible with you. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. You know where she is, and I know, I want you to show me. Help me, Lord. I was crying out to God, praying all night. And then I had this phrase come across my heart and mind. Have you heard of it? Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I had been given that challenge 30 years ago when I was looking at going into missions and going overseas. This mission board had challenged me. What do you do with that statement? I'm like, God, why do you bring that to my remembrance now? That was 30 years ago. And I thought of it again. Better to have loved and lost. And I stopped. And I said, no, I am not going to lose. We will find Ari. I'm determined. Well, we got up. We went out. Still no Ari. And Julie says, well, I hate to say it, but I think we need to check the dumpsters. I'm like, no. We're going to make signs. We're going to call the sheriff. We're going to call animal control. We're going to put signs up. We're going to knock on every door in Alvord. That's where she lives. Not that big a city. And we're going to find Ari, because I am not going to lose. I told God last night, I will not lose. Okay. We'll go make some signs. But before we do that, let's feed the horses. Okay. She opens that shed door to get the horse feed, and out comes Ari. And we both start crying. There's Ari. And, of course, she's dehydrated. She runs to the horse trough and drinks and throws up and drinks and throws up. Poor dog. She wouldn't have survived all day. But then that thought came back to me. Better to have loved and lost. I said, but God, I didn't lose. He said, but what about all those around you? Are you willing to stay up all night in prayer for those lost souls around you? Are you willing to look at people and just out of desperation never give up? Are you willing to sacrifice and Are you willing to shine your light as you did out there in the pasture? Are you willing when you walk past those university students to be praying for them and not just look at them like, oh, they look a little different today? Or are we praying for them? I thought of that William Booth picture. Have you seen it? When he got the vision for Salvation Army, this vision he has, and it's up in my office at home, is this platform. And people are doing like what we did today. They're doing praise and worship. There's a pastor. They're preaching. They're playing the drums. They're doing all these things. But all around them is the ocean. And there's people drowning. And they're crying out for help. And some are throwing a life preserver, thinking they feel good about that. And some don't even see it. And it brought back to me, God, that's when I, show me. I don't want to miss it. I do want to be counted to know and make a difference and not miss one life that I can touch. So shining our light, as he tells us, not to hide it, but to shine it bright. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your, they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So the most important thing you can do for us is pray. I pray that when you came today, you will not leave the same, that we speak life and that we get involved. And most importantly, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for partnering with us. Because I guarantee you, we stretch every cent that you give us. We look to him for all that he's doing, and we will not compromise because we weren't willing to compromise in that federal lawsuit and speak in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you we won, and not only did we won so strongly, the judge ordered that the city of Austin pay all attorney fees, which came to $1 million bill. And they fought that, but at the end of the day, they wrote a $480,000 check to our attorneys. And that was God speaking, don't mess with us. Thank you for partnering with us. I appreciate the time to share.
Thank you so much, Lori. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I hope we're all edified and encouraged that we can pray with better accuracy, that we're considering, did you see the email? We're considering ways that we can help and crafts and sewing and baby blankets and all kinds of things. And it's right here. It's local. It's available. And it's a real privilege. And I tell you, the biggest thing that excited me was because years ago, you know, over in the old neighborhood, there was a center there on Anderson Lane. And I'm not being critical, or I guess I am. They did what they did, but they were also very reluctant to preach the gospel. In fact, they tended to dampen that down. And I don't know if it was some of their Catholic funding, they didn't like our evangelical approach, or what it might have been. But it became such a cold atmosphere that we had to separate, and we stopped, and we parted ways with them. And so when I was then introduced to Lori and the APRC, I thought, wow, you know, because there's no compromise there. There's the gospel every time, all day, every day. And I said, this is what we can partner with. This is what we can participate with. So I'm thankful for that. Let's pray together, and then we'll dismiss with our closing hymn. Father, I do thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for this time together. I rejoice in your servant, Lori, and I thank you for the blessings we have to take part in these blessings. Father, we call upon your faithfulness to open our eyes, that we might see with your eyes, that we might hear with your ears. Father, I pray that we, for any brothers and sisters here today that are considering their role, their calling, and ministry opportunities that are before us, Father, show us what you would have for us to do. I thank you for your grace that makes all these things possible. And I just celebrate how faithful you are. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.